evening, everyone. This is Gordon W2TTT. And this is the Bergen Image at Ridge Radio Club. Technical net. Are there any stations with emergency parade traffic? Please call K2BAR. Parade. Well, everybody, that's a good answer. This net is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.955 megahertz with a PLF 141.3. PLF 141.3. The Chestnut Ridge Radio Club's 2-meter repeater located in Alpine, New Jersey. The offset is minus 600 kilohertz. This net is a little different than other nets, and that is the conversation about amateur radio, about computers, electronics, telecommunications, the natural sciences, phenomena, etc., that support our glorious hobby. And of course, our operational experiences, things we've done, things we aspire to do, things we never want to do again, all those things. You can also post swap and shop type items here on the net as well. We also would like you to check in, even if you don't have anything to contribute. In other words, you don't have a question, comment, or a for sale swap or wanted item. Look forward to your participation because it helps us gauge how to run the net. So please do keep that in mind. That'll be for it. Alrighty. So with no further ado, let's talk about how we check in. Check in with our call sign, our name, and we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, a sale swap or wanted item, a combination of those things, or none of the above. Then after we take the roster, we roll through the list, assembling a sensible order. So, with no further ado, let's go to the Whiskies. Any station with a Whiskey call, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, indicate whether you have a question, comment, sales swap wanted items, some combination of those things, what we're called K2BAR.
Good evening, Gordon. This is WA2UMP, Jim in Pearl River, and just listening this evening.
W2JEK, Don with a comment.
WI2W, just listening. Okay, I have WA2UMP. I have W2JEK. I have JEK with a comment, pardon me. I have, this is annoying. I'm trying to do a text style here. This is not working very well. All right, well, we'll figure it out. We're good. Anyway, I also have WI2W checking in, just listening. Good evening, Eve. Alrighty, let's see. Are there any other whiskeys?
W2TKE, Frank in Montvale, just listening.
Alright, hold that thought, boys and girls. I got Randy W2S with a question and a comment. I have, I have Frank W2AE. Another station, but your audio was low and you got a crush on the signal. Who are you? Say again.
I have been W2KBS. Is that better with an announcement or comment?
Good evening, Carl. Got you with a question or comment. Or I guess a comment would be called. Fine. By the way, W2TTT has a comment as well. Make that point up front. Any other whiskey?
W2TR. Hector. No comments or questions at this time. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Hector. I'm glad you attended W2NPR. Very good. Welcome, welcome. Any other whiskeys? All right. Kilo 2.
KD2HPY, Greg Mossvale, just listening.
Greg, I didn't get your suffix. KD2 again? Frank, what's Greg's call sign?
KD2HPY.
I knew we had checked in last week, I just couldn't remember. Okay, very good. Thanks, Frank. And I got Greg in there, too. Greg, what are your intentions? Just listening, or you have a comment or a question or something else?
Just listening.
Okie dokie. Got you covered. Any other kilos?
Lot 2, Echo, India Romeo, K2 EIR, Howie in Tarrytown with a question.
Howie with a question. Any other kilos?
Kilo Delta 2, Golf Alpha Alpha. Name is Paul. Name is Gordon. Everybody on the net, just listening.
Okay, Paul, got you in there. Very, very good. Any other kilos? November station.
N2ZZK, Bob from Bergenfield, just listening, and I'd like to wish all a great holiday and a safe one. Back to net.
N2MH Mark in West Orange with a comment.
Okay, I got Bob. Welcome aboard. Thank you, Bob, for your good wishes. And Mark, I have you down for a comment. Very good. Well, judging by this list, I'm very lively net tonight. Good. Alrighty, keep moving. Any other Novembers? Okay, how about Alpha Station?
Alpha Alpha 2, Whiskey Papa. Bill, just listening.
Hey, Willie P, good. Excellent. Got you. Welcome aboard. Any other Alphas? I'm eating an apple, which is my pre-dinner snack here. Got home from work a few minutes ago. Alrighty. We also have stations on Echolink, maybe. That's available via K2 Foxtrot Juliet, K2FJ-L for Lima. Are there any stations on Echolink? Okay. Are there any stations play chicken?
K02, okay, Mobile. No questions or comments at the moment.
Gotcha, Bennett. Very fine. Welcome aboard. Any other stations? While everybody's attention here, there is AmFest for Boy Scout Trip 139 Adventure Cruise 7373 on Saturday in Bergenfield. It also will feature a holiday sale, not just crafts, but other new items. No junk, nothing used, except the ham gear. We'll also have some intermittent ad hoc technical forums, which we'll announce through the morning and on various topics. And, of course, there's also the infamous pet adoption. I know this because I keep getting dogs. Anyway, wanted to make everybody aware of that. Doors open for vendors at 6 a.m. for buyers if they're ham at 7 for the, what are called, more general merchandising public 9. We'll have breakfast and lunch available. We hope you will come and support our Boy Scout troop and join us in adventure, friendship, and fellowship at this time. Anyway, let me just say up front also, want to, in kind of advance, wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah. Coincident this year, and that's really kind of nice. So, all good. We've had quite a year. So, with no further ado, let me hand it to Don. And I'm going to get this basketball court rolling down the road. We're going to do things in pretty much net roster order tonight. Actually, is that true? Yeah, I guess I will. Yeah, we'll do. We'll go right down the line. So after that, after Don, it's going to be Randy with first his comment, then his question, and then we'll go to Carl. Then we'll go to Howie. Then we'll go to Mark. And in between, we'll check for new check-ins and additions if people want to rock and roll. I am not taking a detailed log today, so if someone wants to take log notes to who said what or references, I would really appreciate it. And, of course, all of our log notes and other goodies are available on the ComTech group. That's Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa, ComTech group, Yahoo group. And if you don't know how to find it or can't find it, just email me whiskey2tripletango@awrl.net and I will get you hooked up. So with no further ado, W2JEK, Don, it's your ball, K2BAR.
K2BAR in the net, W2JEK, good evening everybody. Yeah, well, our next test session I'll be running will be the one for the following the technician course on Friday, December 26th. Test session will be at 7 o'clock, and that will be at St. John's Church in Bergenfield. And anybody's coming will need Social Security number. If you do not have a license, if you have a license, your license should have an FRN number on it, and filling out the forms. Test fee is still $15, and if you need some form of ID, something with a picture on it, like a passport or a driver's license, or don't have something like that, two forms of non-photo ID. And if you have a calculator, you can bring it, provided the memory is empty. Take a look at the memory, make sure it is. Other devices such as cell phones, iPods, etc. may not be used as calculators. And that just about covers it. Now, one other thing, if you know anybody that's licensed, has a license that's expired beyond the grace period, you can get credit if they were a general advanced or extra for that class of license. They come back and take the current technician exam. They can be reinstated to their the earlier class of license. A general or an extra will become a general or an extra. The advanced class will unfortunately have to go back to a general class license because no more advanced licenses are being issued. Push the call sign will be back in that W2JK.
Very good, Don. Thank you very much. We have anybody who has any have any additional questions regarding the testing or licensing in general? I'd like to pipe up in a second. I do want to point out that I am running a one-day review course on the 26th during the day, as Don alluded to, and the Barra testing gang under Don's careful direction. We'll be doing testing at 7 in the evening, but that's a Friday, and I take off from work, and we do run a one-day crash and burn session, going through all the questions. I can also email some study resources out in advance, which really does help folks get squared away. So do keep that in mind, as you're all welcome. People, I do ask for a donation to the troop of $50 to help the amateur radio program of the troop and done the testing for boys who might have some marginal ability to do that, ultimately to get them on the air. So with that in mind, do keep that in mind. So anybody have any questions or comments for Don? All right, Don, you have anything else?
I have put into some dates in January, February, March, April, May, and June testing dates, and Jim K2ZO is going to run them by the officials, make sure they don't conflict with anything that they're doing, make sure they're good before I put them out on the internet. I am waiting to hear from him about those dates right now. That's where it's at. If I get the word, I'll have it out on the ARRL and the Barra websites. Back to that. W2J.
Okay, no. Very good, Don. Anybody else have anything for Don? Okay, Don. Very good. And thank you. And truly, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for doing this test session with everybody else on the team. Alrighty. I guess our next person is going to be... Randy. Randy, why don't you start with your comment, and then we'll move to your question. How's that?
Yeah, great. Thank you, Gordon. Good evening to everyone on the net. This is Randy, WU2S. My comment is something I just stumbled upon recently on the internet, and it's called Internet CW. It's probably been out there a while. Maybe many of you know of it already, but it was new to me, and so I thought I'd bring it to the attention of the technical net this evening. The URL is internetcw.weebly.com, and apparently it's a method of using audio tones to send CW to other operators where you arrange a schedule. So I thought it was kind of interesting, one of the oldest digital technologies over one of the newest digital technologies, and I thought it might be fun. I'm just kind of curious if anybody's ever tried it. Back to net.
Well, Randy, I've never tried it, and it sounds interesting. So you can actually have a CW QSO across the net. What do you, one end type and the other end hears CW and vice versa?
Yeah, that's my understanding. I believe the original concept was that you'd hook up your key, either a straight key or, you know, like a bencher paddle or something like that, through an interface that would generate tones and then thereby connect it to the microphone input of your computer, and with some software that would take the received tones and then repackage them so they'd go out into packets on the internet. So it seemed kind of like a clever idea.
Absolutely. That sounds like a definite winner for the Comtech group. So you can basically set up SCEDs as well with people. Can you call CQ?
You know, that I don't know. I haven't looked into it too much further just yet. I intend to. But it seemed to me that it was probably mostly on a scheduled basis, only because the sponsor of this facility, I believe, had a channel capacity of 25 QSOs, or at least when he set this thing up a number of years ago. And I guess there's a server that needs to be present that he maintains, so there's some capacity limits on that equipment.
Sure. So why don't we repeat the URL and give folks some opportunity to go play and see what it does.
Sure. Once again, the URL is internetcw, altogether, dot Weebly, I spell Whiskey Echo Echo Bravo Lima Yankee, dot com.
You just have to love that URL.
Sounds pretty good to me.
My wife knows the website, with the Weebly website. She says there's a lot of interesting things hosted by Weebly.com.
Well, I didn't know that. Learn something new. I'll have to look at what else is out there. As I said, I just stumbled across it and thought it looked kind of interesting. Some unusual possibilities to it, and I thought maybe some of the folks on the net might be interested in it.
Yeah, just chatting here with Nance, she's suggesting that it's a portal site more than a hosting site. Although, we'll see. Very good.
So, if there's no other comments, I'd like to raise my question, if that's okay.
Go right ahead, sir.
Well, my question is regarding acoustic insulation. I have a desire to put up some acoustic insulation here in my shack and both improve the sound quality as well as deaden some of the sounds coming from other parts of the house, as well as deaden my screeching voice going back and disturbing the dogs. So I researched and found a thing called Roxul, R-O-X-U-L, and I believe they sell it at Lowe's and some of the other big box places. And my question is, I wondered if anybody on the net has any experience using acoustic insulation. Is the product that I'm thinking of worth the cost and the obvious one for do-it-yourselfers. Are there any gotchas, anything I should be aware of or be cautious of before attempting to install this stuff? So that's my question for the net. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, back to net control.
WB2HRO.
WB2HIO, welcome aboard. Your name and go right ahead.
Whiskey 502 Hotel Radio Oscar. I signed in to store for Concert last couple of weeks. My name here is Joe. I have some experience with for installation, so I might be able to help the person. Ask him a couple of questions.
Hey, WB2HRO, sorry about that. Yeah, go ahead, Joe. Tell us more.
Okay, what's the name of the station that's interested in doing this? Is your room a finished room with walls and ceiling, or is it just like a basement with just the joists and studs? Over.
This is Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra. The intention is to put it overhead between the joists.
Okay. They make acoustical insulation. I have stuff in my wall that I put up. There was a wall missing in my apartment. When I had a carpet to build the wall. And I specifically set acoustical insulation. And it's a form of fiberglass. You have to, what you would do is you would put it in between the joists and then put sheetrock over it. You can't have it just plain. That's the kind I have. It's not the insulation used for, thermal insulation. It's a little more dense than that, but it's fibrous, and it's in, comes in pieces. So it's not, you can pull it apart with your hand, or, but it's, that's not on the size of the pieces. I think it will go between the studs, and it comes in like 3 or 4 foot length. I would probably guess the at least 4-inch or 6-inch version. It doesn't have to fill up the whole 7.5 inches, but it's at least 4-inch, it's probably going to be 6-5.5 inches. And you stuff it in there and then put your rock over it. You can't let the stuff be exposed to fibers come off if they're healthy. That would be that document. You put the piles up. You could do a drop ceiling. You don't have to do sheet rock. You could do a drop ceiling of fiberglass panels down that are close to the acoustical. By the way, if you do anything with the cleaning stuff, do not remove the angles of frames that's up there. So that's structural. You don't want to take those angles.
Hey Joe, we only got about a third of that because your signal has been marginal. I forgot that last time your signal was marginal too. You got to keep your transmissions under about 30 seconds because, just the amount of static and crash and burn is on your signal is pretty tough. I don't know, Randy might have gotten some good out of that. I got little bits and pieces, but I could not really follow the rather elaborate logic of your transmission. I apologize, but your signal, it's marginal at best. So, Randy, how much of that did you get?
Well, I think I got about half of it. And again, thank you, Joe. I appreciate you stepping forward with your expertise and experience here. It is a help from what I was able to hear. And to address your comment about a drop ceiling, yes, my intention was that after I put suitable insulation into the overhead between the joists, I would then affix some sort of drop ceiling immediately below the joists and cover all of that stuff up. I think that was consistent
audio is probably the best on this entire nest. So my question is, are you trying to insulate the family from your nonsense, or are you trying to improve the acoustics of what you have? If you're trying to do the latter, yeah, I'm not so sure I do anything except for your comfort.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you to say, but of course, we always strive for perfection here at Whisk Uniform 2 Sierra, so since I haven't quite achieved Nirvana, I'm still on the journey, as it were. But yes, the intention is largely to insulate the rest of the family from the extraneous noises and screaming and silly technical comments coming from down here in the radio shack. Back to net.
Oh, okay. So it's protection of the family, so you don't have to listen to the occasional riot. No. Actually, in your case, you have to make sure you suppress both extreme highs and extreme lows. The extreme highs come from the young grandchildren who, you know, abound in your household fairly frequently. And the dogs, the incredibly large dogs who live there, who just go woof, 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 and they have very low woofs as they put their paws on your shoulder and lick the top of your head, even though you're 6 feet tall.
That's it. We've got no mid-range here at all. This is, we've got all the treble and all the bass you can use.
You got that? Alrighty, so that was your question. Anybody else have any thoughts about acoustics and acoustic management in the shack, either ingress or egress?
Eight.
N2MH with a comment.
We got a couple of people. N2MH and NK2EIR both have comments.
Okay, Randy, good evening to you. We just did some renovation here, and we put that stuff in extensively. What we found is with the walls off... we got somebody complaining over here. With the sheetrock completely off the walls and the ceiling, we put this in place of the fiberglass that we had. Downstairs became very, very quiet. As the sheetrock went back on, and the ceiling sheetrock went back on, the liveliness of the room got back to pretty much where it was, and the wood floor took care of that. However, what this stuff does for you, it will limit the transmission of sounds through the wall, which is sounds like is what you want. Of course, keep in mind that acoustic insulation is more effective at high frequencies than low frequencies. So your shrieking kids will probably be, or grandkids will be taken care of, but that woof-woofing dog probably won't. N2MH.
Good point. Randy, you want to respond to that first?
Thanks, Mark. That's very helpful. I took a couple of notes on that. I didn't realize that its frequency response was asymmetric or more effective at high frequencies. So that's a good idea. I'll take that into account. Thank you.
Yeah, that was from an old electroacoustics course that we took eons ago. But yeah, we actually passed various sound frequencies through. And you can see a very definite attenuation curve. I can't say it's 6 dB per octave, but it is something.
Very good, Mark. Thank you very much. Howie, you had a comment.
This is K2EIR. Yes, I do. I'd like to relate to Randy and Danette a little experience. Back when I was in high school, I double dated with WB2GVA. And we went to his girlfriend's house. His girlfriend's father was a truck driver, and he ushered me in, while I was waiting for them, ushered me into, I guess, their living room or den. He had taken this whole room and put egg crates all along the walls and ceiling. Not crates, but egg boxes. You know, when you buy a dozen eggs in a cardboard box. If you have the little cones that each of the eggs sit in project outward, that's what he did. He painted it all black. black, and he had black lights in the room, so I couldn't really see that well. But he put his stereo in there for ideal listening, and it was very impressive. The place was really dead to any echo and reflection. And again, he did this all over. If you select enough cardboard egg boxes, you have a cheap means of soundproofing or improving the acoustics. I don't really know how effective it is for other rooms, you know, keeping it out, but I do imagine it absorbs a lot. And I do raise the question these days about fire, since that stuff is all paper and cardboard. It would burn very readily. But I don't know, maybe while you're painting it black, you could put some sort of fire retardant on it. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out. Egg boxes. And it's cheaper than buying commercial tiles, but each man to his own. K2EIR.
Very good, Howie. Yeah, so that was one layer of chicken boxes, huh? Or chicken egg boxes. Cardboard style, not the styrofoam. I can assure you the styrofoam would have a different acoustic response, and either will set your house on fire. It sounds unbelievably unsafe, but yes, people do the most amazing things. Anybody else have any thoughts for Randy's soundproofing exercise? Joe, 30 seconds.
If you're putting anything up, just remember, don't remove any of the components of the support or those angles. That's okay. Over.
That really didn't come through. You're telling me not to do something, I think, but I don't know what it is.
Not to remove any of the angles where the sound is going.
Gordon, can you make that out?
No braces?
No braces.
Angle braces.
Angle braces.
I think he's saying don't use the ones with the hangers, the acoustic tile hangers that have the little angle types, you know, with the, where you drop the tiles in. You've got to use the ones that interlock.
He's saying don't remove any of the existing angle braces that are holding up the floor.
Okay, I got it. Thank you very much.
Okay. And to NBR. NBR go. Here's somebody who knows a little bit of audio.
Good evening, gentlemen. Sorry, I came in late a while ago, but anyway, I got in time to have my interest piqued about audio issues concerning this. Now, one of the biggest sound problems we have has in the broadcast industry in New York is the sound of sirens. Whether they be fire or police going by the buildings. Sometimes, for example, I was doing a job one day for somebody, we were 20 or so stories off the ground, and the sirens came through as if they were in the room, just about. And we actually had to stop a take on a shoot we were doing. That's a typical, you know, this is a boardroom atmosphere type of stuff, no soundproofing whatsoever. However, the contrast to that is in the studio, which is maybe only 5 or 10 floors off the ground, they use professional sound absorption type stuff. Let me let this drop. The stuff I'm referring to is called Sonex, S-O-N-E-X, and it's available at... the place I know of is Marketech in upstate New York, next stop on the thruway after Kingston. I forget what that is. But anyway, I don't know how cheap or expensive it is these days. My catalog is fairly old on the subject, but that's the way to go. And as pointed out earlier, low frequencies are not as isolatable, or in other words, your vulnerability at low frequencies is quite high anyway, just because of the way low frequencies exist. You know, as we all know, when you buy a low frequency woofer, you can put it practically anywhere in the room, and it sounds like you've got it all over the room, unless you listen carefully. But anyway, again, it's called Sonex, and it's available, I think, at Market Tech Supply. And if you give me a minute or so, I'll give you a location of the city.
I've noted that. Thank you very much. That's a big help.
John, I'm sorry. That wasn't me. They're in Saugerties, New York.
Thank you very much.
Sonex is available from who in Saugerties?
Company called Marker Tech. They are a supplier to they're a major supplier to a lot of broadcast folks.
Outstanding. Alrighty. Anybody else have some thoughts?
WA2QBC.
Bruce, WA2QBC. I hope people are getting, somebody's writing down these new calls that are popping in. Welcome aboard. How are you, Bruce?
Evening, Gordon and everyone else. Sorry I'm late to the parade here. I've used fiberglass bats in the wall, and that does deaden the sound quite a bit. I'm sure there's different wallboard material out there rather than plasterboard that'll do a better job of absorbing sound. But what I've usually seen is just a square, 3 foot by 3 foot type textured foam product. And I don't know about the flammability concerns. The old stuff was very much flammable. The new stuff, I don't know. But that just gets affixed to the wall on the inside of the room, and that did a pretty good job.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much. That's another good idea. Anybody else? Alrighty. Well, I think I managed to hit the sweet spot on this one. Randy, anything you want to add?
I'd just like to add my gratitude for all of the terrific suggestions and ideas. I'm really glad that everybody on the net had something interesting and unique to contribute. I certainly learned a lot. I've got more to research now, and I thank everyone for the advice. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra back to net.
Alrighty. I'm just adding N to NBR and W2QB. I'm sorry, Joe, is it B2HRO? I got that. Alright, very good. Trying to get all the stragglers in here. Alrighty. Very good. Carl, you're up next. W2KBF. K2BAR.
Hi, Gordon. First of all, is my signal okay?
You're a little scratchy, so I'm going to ask you to stick to the 30-second rule, too.
Okay, so I will speak slowly. I just wanted to call attention to a new digital HFNet, which uses FL Digi system to your net for the narrowband emergency messaging system. It is not limited to racing and air raid, so any licensed amateurs, welcome to check in. Try using the digital mode. The net starts at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. And the frequency is 7.073 megahertz. 7.073 megahertz. Upper sideband. And it starts out using the mode Olivia 8500. Olivia 8500. That's a bad time because of church or whatever. The equivalent Pennsylvania net starts at 11 a.m., 500 hertz lower than the New Jersey net. So, that's that. W2KBF back to net.
Very good. So, what's the frequency again, Carl?
The New Jersey net is 7.073. 7.073, so it's 40 meters. And the Pennsylvania net, narrowband net, runs 500 hertz below that, starting at 11 a.m. WKBF.
So it's 11 a.m.?
New Jersey net is 9:30 a.m. Sunday, Pennsylvania, that is 11 a.m. Sunday, WTJS.
Got it. Very good. Okay. I think we got it. Anybody have any questions for Carl? Okay, doke. Thank you very much, Carl. Did you bring an FL Digi? And you know whether we're going to have an FL Digi kind of familiarization session, little mini tutorial on Saturday at some point?
Well, yes, that's interesting. I can bring my computer when I finish the routine at all in Fairlawn.
Okay, so closer to noon time. Very good. Very, very good. We look forward to that. Give us another reason to break bread at lunchtime and have a little conversation about FL Digi. I think that'd be really cool. For those who haven't seen this, the level of automation that's capable of bringing is amazing. It saves you a lot of the nasty overhead of doing any kind of form-based formatting and transmission and reception. It's really pretty. Alrighty, thank you very much. Howie, K2EIR, your question, sir, K2BA.
Okay, here I am, K2EIR. Thank you. Here's my question. In QFT, I see on the advertising pages, Comet has an antenna, the CHA250D. It's a broadband 80 meter through 6 meter vertical antenna, and no ground radios are necessary. And I'm wondering if anybody knows what is the real design of this antenna and how does it work. In their advertisement, they have a, and they say no antenna tuner needed, and they've got a little graph showing all the various points where it dips to a low SWR, which apparently coincides, I don't have my glasses on, with the amateur bands as it goes from, you know, 3.5 to 29 megahertz or whatever. So does anyone know the principle, what kind of antenna is this, how does it work? Is it a vertical dipole? What? That's my question. K2EIR.
UI2W. Howie, I think it's a, I'm pretty sure actually, it's a 5-to-1 balun, end-fed wire. And the construction of the balun is such that it is lossy, so it introduces some resistance into the line. That's what gives you, trading off the multi-band capability for some resistive losses, which is not always necessarily a bad thing, depending what your communication requirements are. It's not a particularly efficient antenna, but it does work.
Okay, that's the kind of explanation I was looking for. Thank you, Steve. K2EIR.
It's a load, somewhat like a gummy load, with leakage. One of those as well. I'll figure it out and I'll let you know. Yeah, Howie, it really is a bit of a gummy load with leakage.
Okay, well, back in the day, we used to put a light bulb up there at the end of the coax at the top of the roof, and it worked pretty well, too. You two double leave each other. If I may, Gordon, Steve, could you repeat your last transmission?
Yeah, Rich, AC2GI uses one or two of those. He gave us one, gave me one to take a look at. It was put in one of these 4x4 industrial boxes, Carlon boxes, you can get home. He melted the epoxy and we opened it up and took a look inside. And there's a British guy that's done a whole analysis on the HA250 and some other designs. I'll find the website and point you towards it.
Well, that would be terrific. Thank you. Okay. Back to net, K2EIR.
Very good. Anybody else have any advice for Howie? Okay, very good. Mark, over to you. N2MH, K2BAR.
K2BAR and the net, this is N2MH. Mark in West Orange. We just wanted to
make the comment that we expect to be at the Hamfest on Saturday, and we will bring this mesh stuff. If there's a mesh running, maybe we'll bring a couple of things to make a mesh, and do a show and tell on this remote base station running asterisk and mesh and all that kind of good stuff. And I just want to announce that and make sure that's okay with the Hamfest gods.
Absolutely. I'll be bringing a camera and an internet gateway node that hopefully will have a live tunnel to detect. Assuming that Daryl's able to keep his server online on Saturday. That's part of the work for tomorrow night to get that squared away. Very good. So yes, we have some pretty exciting progress. We've been testing with the tunnels, and you've been testing with some asterisk over mesh. I think that's a particularly neat function as well, Mark. So you've got a mesh network in your house, and you're running your asterisk over it. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. In fact, we actually figured out how to put a phone on our main asterisk server running the All-Star network that actually is accessible through the net from any other All-Star, but how to put a phone on that and have it dial into any of the other little BeagleBone asterisks that we have by extension number and some clever use of SIP trunking. So I figured out how to do that. It's pretty neat.
Okay, so SIP trunking allows you to take multiple PBXs, or a pair of PBXs, that were, and to build a bridge between the two of them. So in your case, one is your asterisk switch that is running All-Star, and the other one is running just telephony, correct? And which form of trunking did you use between the two switches?
Okay, a slight correction. All the nodes are running All-Star. There's only one publicly accessible All-Star that is registered on the All-Star network. The others are local nodes. If you go from one to the other on the All-Star side of the house, then you're using IAX trunking, or how do you say, EECS trunking. But if you're on a telephony side of the house, you go from one to the other using SIP. And once you're there, then that puts you into another context, which automatically puts you over onto the All-Star side. So it's kind of neat, kind of unique, and works very nicely.
So here's my question. Actually, two questions. One is, why did you use IAX on your domestic side and SIP on the external side? Why did you do SIP all around? And the second question is, do trunking to the external world and carry the SIP, is it friend trunking, or what form of trunking did you decide to implement?
Okay, the reason I used IAX trunking is that is what is native to the All-Star software to app repeat, and it almost becomes cookie cutter at that point. But when you go out and register on All-Star, that has to be IAX because there is a register server, and it goes out there. The other reason that I can infer is that you only have to open up one port on your firewall for IAX trunking, whereas SIP could be a real pain. Now, the reason I use SIP internally, I don't use SIP externally at all. SIP internally is because I'm just learning this stuff. I'm following the ESRIT book, and that was the first type of trunking I brought up, and it worked.
Fair enough. Okay, that's good. I got the context wrong. So, domestically using SIP, and externally you're using IAX because All-Star requires it for their registration server, etc. Very nice. So yeah, there are different protocols associated with trunking, and that's pretty nifty. So I know, for instance, I can get on the internet, and they actually have a, you can actually go to the All-Star site, register your call sign, and they actually have a site you can use to get on the air, like a virtual device, a virtual radio, if you will. And, you know, put yourself out on any All-Star system that has capacity. Pretty neat. Pretty neat. You guys might want to look at All-Star networks on that when you get a chance, because it allows you to do not just telephony, but also radio and integrate the two if you so desire. It's also a good way for whole repeater networks to do networking. You may never use telephony. Mark, I will bring a node with a phone, maybe a couple of nodes with phones. I'll do that too. I probably won't bring up a maybe I'll bring a switch. If you want, I have a I don't know if I'll have time between now and Saturday morning because I got all the set up for the ham fest, but I will see about bringing about an asterisk switch, a bare one. But if not, I'll bring certainly a couple of phones and some camera nodes.
Okay, well, here's what I had planned to bring. I'm going to bring the Oasis box that this node is married to, and that'll save a lot of configuration work. I may throw another Linksys node and phone in the car. I could even come loaded for bear and bring a couple of nanos.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. In fact, Randy, if you're planning to come, you're welcome to do the same. I'll bring the internet gateway as well. I mean, there'll be at least one, if not several, internet gateways on site. So we will have plenty of capacity. One of the things I've decided to do is I'll bring separate internet access for people who might need internet from the HempFest / flea market, but we'll have a second one with own cellular uplink. I've actually changed out the that node that I had before. I had the two 54GL boxes, and now one of them is a GS box that provides the tunnel and everything else. So, and that's also buried in a mobile node using it. That's based on a cellular data card from AT&T. And the GL node is an access point, so there'll be promiscuous access for that. The hand community. All right, anybody else have any comments? Alrighty. What else? I guess that's about it for the moment. Mark, you have anything else?
No, I don't have anything else, Gordon. The only thing that came to mind when you said you're going to be setting up these access points, keep them off of Channel 1.
Yeah, well, all our network nodes are free, and our access, my AP is on, I think, 8. Nine, one of those two. Oh, maybe 11. I think I just said fight it out on 11.
Good move, the other side of the band. Always nice.
Well, yeah, again, it doesn't matter. It's low power, it's stock, it's a stock Linksys box, so, the network side has dual amplifiers, for gosh sakes. I have dual BDAs on a Linksys. I don't know, that's what I had. And they're mounted to external omnidirectional antennas to give you that pseudo MIMO capability that the Linksys boxes with the OpenWRT software give you.
Okay, because we just don't want any kind of friendly fire, if you know what I mean. All right, you're going to go back to listening mode. Not for a little while yet. K2BAR, this is N2MH.
Yeah, very good. Thanks again. And so everybody just remember that networking at the you know, in the Nephthys, right now channel 3, when we congregate, we'll work on that. In fact, let me bring up a topic here. Hope Randy and Carl are still in here too, among others. One of the questions was whether we go to 900 megs for some of our linking. And the question is, can you deal with a 5 meg channel and its throughput? So the thought was that we would take all our nodes and crank them down to 5 megs and also then and run comparable tests at the normal 20 megs and see how the throughput is in our each of our own environments. So right now that we're using the default bandwidth of 20 megs, but at some point we really need to decide whether or not we can live with 5 megs bandwidth by testing that concept of 2.4, not that we'd like to live with that, but in so doing, we then could make the decision as to whether or not the investment of 900 meg gear, which has other issues as well, is worthwhile. You also have to worry about congestion and co-sites and all sorts of other fun things at 900, but the point is it does propagate better. That can be a benefit, that can be a detriment. But for some of the sites we're talking about, that might be something to consider. So, if anyone has any thoughts on that, please call KBAR.
N2MH.
Mr. Mark.
Yeah, the thought of 900, while it's appealing in that it's got lower RF loss, you can get some pretty stock gain antennas and everything else for that. It is a ham band. Just remember, we're secondary, and among other things, the primary license to use it there is every toll booth that's running EasyPass. They're on 915 or thereabouts, or even megahertz, and they're running 1 watt.
Yep. And that is an issue. The sites that we have in mind are not terribly proximate to cell sites. I mean, to toll booths. That's the good news. The bad news is that 900 megs propagates real well. So, yeah. Well, I'll share with you where we're considering when I see you on Saturday.
Okay, and yes, you can look that stuff up in the FCC ULS database. It's all there. I didn't know if you were aware of that or not. And Tim H.
Yeah, are they actually licensed emitters?
Yes, they are. They're licensed. They have a call sign. And if I'm not mistaken, the emission type is F0. So it's a steady carrier.
Okay. Their bandwidth?
That's a real good question. You know, if they're F0, how could you say they have bandwidth? But I think they're licensed for 500 KC.
Well, that's excellent. I think that's something we can probably work around. The request we have, obviously, to stay away from the bottom and stay away from the top, because that's where the weak signal guys are, and also that's where the good boys and girls who run repeaters are. Having said that, that's why we have to think about a 5 meg channel bandwidth, because otherwise we'll just be looking for trouble.
Yeah, not to mention everybody else who's on 900, including other point-to-point data links that are running as well, of which I know a certain airport has some.
Yeah, actually, if you can get us some information on that, that would be very, very helpful. Is that in the ULS as well?
No, it's Part 15, so it's not anywhere.
Oh, okay. They are essentially, take the crap that they get for their trouble. But it might be good to avoid receiving their stuff, too.
Yeah, well, the good news is they're on the other side of the Hudson.
Yep. So are these across airport kind of data links? They're highly localized?
Yes, they are. They're directional.